Kildare Today with Clem, Owen and Kira.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. Whitewatersc.ie.
Okay, now just a couple of quick messages before we continue regarding the interview with James Lawless, who's chairing that Fianna Fáil review. A listener says, that's really annoying to hear James Lawless saying Fianna Fáil cares about local communities when they refuse to listen to the people and their concerns. I live in Sallins, and there are plans for hundreds more residential developments with no infrastructure being considered, and no one from Fianna Fáil is prepared to listen, including James, says a listener in regards to that. Happy birthday, Claire. Kira, Noble, hope Clem and Owen are spoiling you with presents and cake. Of course we are, Catherine, in a tie sent that in. Diamonds, jewels left out and everything like that, you know, hundreds of candles, banners, everything, stuff like that. You know, we're doing our best for our Kira today on her birthday. Clem, did you listen to that minister with a straight face? It wasn't a minister, Mary, it's the TD, James Lawless. I did. And I've said it in the past, yes, while I will question politicians as intensely as possible and as necessary and hold them to account in terms of answering the question I asked rather than other things, but I have to say I have huge respect for anybody that puts themselves forward for public office. I wouldn't, because, just to be honest with you, I wouldn't put up with the old guff that's thrown back. You know, I just wouldn't. And I think it takes a particular skill and a particular commitment to expose yourself to that. Because remember, many of these politicians, they're in the public eye. It impacts their families as well. But anyway, certainly one man who's in the public eye now is the new Kildare senior football manager, Round Towers manager, former All-Star centre-back and captain of Kildare, Glenn Ryan. Good morning.
Good morning, Clem. How's things?
Very good, Glenn. First of all, can I extend our congratulations here to you on your appointment, which was announced at just there on, I think, was it Friday night that we heard first about the appointment? Could have been Saturday morning. Friday night it was, yeah. And as a result of the application process, we're not going to go into the application process, except this county is spoiled by the quality of personnel. And from day one, I said, whoever we appointed, it should be in-house, because the talent existed in-house. And that includes the other two candidates, Tom Quibben and indeed Davy Burke as well. But we're here today to talk about the new management team. Glenn, it's a fantastic honour to lead your county in this way.
Yeah, it certainly is. And you know, we're looking forward to getting going. And yeah, I certainly aware that many others would love to be in the position I'm in, and that they certainly would have been able to do the job justice, and hopefully the day will come for those people to put their name forward again.
Right, you previously managed Longford, you're currently managing Round Towers. Heartbreaking 1-point defeat at the weekend, Glenn?
Yeah. It was a tough one, all right. But, you know, I've been with that group of players for a number of years, and obviously I'll be still with them, supporting them. And, you know, they've been a great bunch of lads, and continue to. And the logo that I'd be proud of with them is to, you know, they try the best every day, both, you know, this we're representing, and they try to do it the best of their ability every day. That's all we can ask.
Yeah, the club was very quick in sending their best wishes and congratulations and good luck to you. You must be encouraged by the universal reaction to your appointment, because certainly no matter where you look, I haven't seen a single message or of anything that was to the contrary of you. All absolutely delighted. Is it putting quite a bit of pressure on you and your backroom team, whom we'll talk about in a moment?
I don't know. Well, first of all, it's brilliant, and it's wonderful to know that you have the support of people behind you. And you know, the Kildare supporters have always been very supportive in anything that myself or Anthony Dermot and Johnny have done, and we hope that they can get behind us as well, and certainly that we give them a reason to cheer and to be proud of this team. Not that they're not already proud of it, but hopefully we can bring it on to another stage. And but yeah, when you have the support of the great people of Kildare behind you, does it put extra pressure on Oh, not necessarily, but it gives you a greater drive to, I suppose, hope that you will please, and we'll be doing our very best to do that.
I don't have to tell you, and I recall interviewing you in the run-up to the 1998 All-Ireland Final. What's that now? 23 years ago, my God. I don't know which of us is getting older, you or me, both of us, I'd say, in regards to that, at the time. And the... What would seem that every year, Glenn, the expectations in Kildare are enormous. I mean, sometimes people say unrealistic even.
Well, the expectations are probably always there, no matter, and they're in every county. I was down in Longford for a number of years and had a number of great years down there, and got the amount of messages and after getting from the people in Longford, I thought they had forgotten about me down there. But you know, it's great to hear from them. But there's an expectation down in Longford, as there is in Leitrim and Kerry, and every county in the country, that, you know, of to win something and to be competitive and to compete. So it's not just in Kildare that expectation is around. Every team wants to win the All-Ireland, no matter what level they're perceived to be playing at. And I hope it continues that every team gets an opportunity to win the All-Ireland. But, yeah, expectations are there, and expectations can be burdens, but it can also be a help.
Mm-hmm. Well, you could be under a lot of extra pressure because the Kildare GA Masters team beat Cork over the weekend, and I see a lot on Twitter saying give them a call up. So you might. I know that I didn't see you in the lineup of that Masters team. You must be nearly age qualified for that now. But, Glenn, speaking about the backroom team, I mean, truly... You've caused us a problem now because we have to find a new match commentator because Johnny Dyle will be well taken up with duties there. But in Anthony Rainbow, Dermot Hurley, Johnny Dyle, yourself, a collection of all-stars, it's a fantastic backroom team you have.
Yeah, it is. It's a good team, and Brian Lacey will be helping out as well from a analysis perspective. I suppose many people would say it's cruel lads together, you know, all friends and very good friends and have been from the times we played football together. But it's much more than that. And to go into this type of position, you need to be able to work with people that you can trust, that are loyal to you, you know, that you can have rows with, fall out, fall in, but enjoy doing all that. And I've had wonderful days with these fellas, both on the pitch and off. But the one thing that they are, they're hugely respected in the roles that they're going to be doing within our management team. And what they will give to Kildare will be their absolute heart and soul. Not for themselves, but hopefully for the players, that they can reach levels that we failed to do. But also to give the support to something that they can be proud of as well.
Well, we've seen that it's been described as a dream team in place to manage Kildare. Excitement levels rising with Glenn Ryan appointed the new Kildare manager, with the backroom team you've mentioned there, and now you've added Brian Lacey, former Kildare half-back, of course, a good Tipperary man. It's the first time a Clare man will ever say that about any Tipperary man in terms of that. Glenn, you're going in at the deep end in the sense that Kildare are going to be playing Division 1 football next season. They've reached a Leinster final.
Yeah. And it's a great position that Jack has left Kildare in. And, you know, some people would say, oh, you're better off to be at the bottom and work your way up. Absolutely not. The bar is at a level that you need to be jumping in and making sure that the standards are very high from the very beginning.
One of the things, Glenn, over the last couple of years has been a transition on the panel with a number of young players being introduced in that, and I'm not going to ask you to be grossly unfair, no commentary whatsoever on previous management, but what I would ask you is, what kind of... I imagine your mission, of course, is to keep Kildare in Division 1 next season, maybe to build on that transition in the panel. What kind of football style would you and your backroom team like to bring for Kildare to bring forward?
It's probably very early. We're speaking about football styles. We all have a, of your own opinion, and if we sit down and dream about football, you'd like to dream of a utopian type style of lovely kick passing and lovely scores and everything that's good about the game being part of your game plan. And that's what we hope. We hope that every good part in the game will be a part of how we approach playing for Kildare. But you know, we need to sit down and look at our players and look at the type of player we have. We certainly have an expectation that will be uniform no matter what type of style we play. But there's an element of adapting to the type of player we have, but seeing what's in front of us and not going to be making any sweeping statements with regard to how we'll play. We need to just sit down and look at things first, and from there we'll develop, you know, working with the players and working with the fitness teams and working with our own ideas of how we'd like the game to be played or how we should be played in any particular day. Things will evolve from that.
Well, we certainly look forward to you, because one of the great things that you brought to Kildare during your playing days was an absolute sense of commitment and, you know, to die with the jersey on, if I might put it that way. And one tweet that I saw over the weekend, and more on the Dream Team, it said, one thing for sure is that every man that pulls on a Kildare jersey next year will want to be there and will give it everything. There will be no hiding places and no bullshit. There are legends of Kildare football after stepping up, and hopefully some great days ahead. Yes, the expectations are high. Is it too early to put up the flags and bunting? Absolutely bouncing with excitement, says another. Now just have to wait and pray that it falls into place for those four legends and all heroes. That sense of commitment that you brought to the jersey yourself at number six, that's where it all starts, is it not, Glenn?
Yeah, it is, and it's lovely to hear people speak in those type of tones, and it's great to hear that there's an element of excitement out there with regard to having the lads involved along with me. But I have no doubt that every fellow who's pulled on a Kildare jersey over the last number of years has done so with the intention of representing that jersey to its fullest. And our plan and our ambition would be that continues, and you know that there might be a little bit more or something different that we can put into it. But any player who, and you know the way things are now with club football, never mind county football, you know, people who go out and represent their clubs as well as their county, there's a huge commitment expected, and a huge return expected also. So when people commit to, whether it's Round Towers or Clonrinco or Sarsfields or Moorfield, they're given that commitment from the start. It's just maybe a little bit extra required at county level.
Well, I can say, you know, much more than what has been stated on Twitter right across the weekend. Universal, unanimous congratulations being extended to you and your team of Anthony, Dermot, Johnny. How are we going to replace Johnny? Peter McConnell's going to cry his heart out for the next year or so. And Brian Lacey now being added to the team as well. Glenn, it was always a pleasure to deal with you. Right back to the 90s when you led Kildare so well to All-Ireland finals and Leinster finals and so on. And we here in KFM look forward to dealing with you going forward in your tenure as well. Congratulations again. Best wishes to you and the team. And thank you so much for joining us this morning. I know it's been a mixed weekend. The highs have been appointed manager, and then Round Towers just been edged out by a point over the weekend. We'll be reviewing that and getting your reaction, which you gave to Seamus Dillon on Saturday in our review this morning. But meanwhile, the Lily Whites rock. You and your team go forth, and the county is well and truly behind you. Congratulations again and best wishes.
Yeah, well, thanks very much for that, Clem, and I would like to, you know, on behalf of all the lads, thank everybody for their further good wishes. As you say, it's been a very positive response, and our aim is to hopefully continue that positivity. And you mentioned the 90s there, Clem. Maybe it's time we left those behind us and start making a new successful era for ourselves.
Well, on that note, a new successful era is what's been aimed at for now. Let's put the memories of bygone days, great days in the past, because now is the present and the future is all that counts. Glenn Ryan, Kildare Senior Football Manager, thank you so much, Glenn.
Thank you, Clem. Bye now.
And best wishes. Thank you. What a legend that man is. And I'm proud to say I still have a T-shirt from 1998 with number 6 and Ryan on the back of it. And over the years, actually, would get asked occasionally, are you the footballer? And of course, I was always delighted to say, yeah. But Glenn used to be asked, are you the guy on KFM? No, most definitely Glenn Ryan. What a legend he has been. And my everlasting image of Glenn Ryan when he wore a Kildare jersey was, there was only one way when you got possession. Straight line. Straight line. And anything that stood in the way, on the way, was brushed aside. And indeed, when he held that half-back line as the fulcrum of the Kildare defence, it was fair people whoever got past him. That kind of commitment. But also, of course, the skill and experience he's had as a manager at county and club level as well. And what about those boys behind him? Of Anthony Rainbow, Dermot Early, Johnny Doyle, and now Brian Lacey added into the mix as well. I'm certainly looking forward to it, and I know the whole county is, and would wish him well also, because there are very few people in life, you know, whose first name, they're known by their first name. But Glenn is one of those. When people refer to Glenn, everybody knows who they're talking about. And we greatly appreciate he giving us his first interview as manager this morning.
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Right, keep your messages coming in. By the way, just two bits of correspondence. I'd like to say a special thank you to Sister Teresa Nagel, who sent me a lovely card following we celebrated the 60th anniversary. It was our Happy Diamond Jubilee of becoming a Sister of Mercy. She'd been based in Athy. She's now elsewhere. I won't say where, but she's in a good place. And her sister had sent in best wishes to her at the time. She sent me a lovely card and I was delighted to get that, Teresa. And it's great to hear that you're still among us and going so well. And also another great friend of the programme is Jenny Leonard up in Longwood in Enfield, County Meath, who sent me a lovely letter again during the week. Jenny, over the last year or so, has sent me some lovely poems and she did great stuff there. And follow your recent mention on the programme about a very old school book from the 60s. George Bagnall, who's up there in Vanessa Lawns in Selbridge, took it upon himself to drive all the way from Selbridge down here to Naas to the KFM Broadcast Centre on Friday, and he gave us a geography book, not from the 1960s, but one from 1938. The title being Geography for Junior Classes. It's the most amazing little booklet. I mightn't have time to go through some of the details in it this morning, but I'll certainly do it tomorrow morning. So thanks to Sister Teresa Nagel, thanks to Jenny in Longwood, and special thanks to George Bagnall in Vanessa Lawns in Selbridge for bringing me that booklet. George, I'll take very good care of it. We'll get it back to you, but I want to delve into it over the next couple of days with some of the details. Certainly, some very interesting stuff being learned by the kids back in 1938 and into the 40s as well. Right, let's talk recycling now, because I'm joined by the CEO of We Ireland, Leo Donovan. Good morning, Leo.
Good morning, Clem.
Thank you for joining us this morning. Families across Ireland are being challenged to find and recycle 5 end-of-life electrical items in a bid to improve our recycling performance after consumption soared in the last year. What is WE and what does it stand for?
Yeah, WE is more or less everything electrical. Anything that works off a battery or a plug is electrical appliance. And under an EU directive, all this material must be recycled. We must recover the resources that are in these materials. So look, last year, about 60 million appliances were consumed by the Irish public. And that was up around from about 16 kg per person up to around about 21 kg per person. So we're under a bit of pressure here in Ireland now to start recycling more of the material because we're consuming more of this material. So this is why we've launched our campaign, Follow Your Lead. So we're encouraging the children and the adults to go around the house and have a look around and see, can they find any old electrical appliances, any old leads for toasters or hair dryers or any appliance really that is no longer in use and have it recycled.
But Leo, I thought that there is a program in place. Well, I know there is a program in place whereby if you're buying a new electrical item, that retailers are bound by regulation or whatever to take back the old item. Is it a case that many people maybe are not bothering?
Yeah, that's it. It really means we all have to make an effort. The sustainability of our planet, I suppose, and to make sure that we maintain the resources, all the precious metals, the plastics, the glass, and everything that's in electrical appliances, we want to make sure we recover those. So each and every one of us has to make that effort to make sure that it goes back to an authorised collection point. You mentioned electrical retailers, and they're great. They will take back free of charge, no purchase required, any electrical appliances provided to sell a similar type appliance. But also the local authority civic and media sites. You have two excellent civic media sites there in Kildare, in Athy and in Ciliate Hill, and they will take free of charge your electrical equipment. So once you let the guy in the gate know that, look, you've got electrical appliances, then you're allowed to dispose of those for free of charge in the recycling centres.
Well, that's very good news, I might add, because certainly I'll have a consignment for them of computers, not to mention a couple of kettles in the kitchen. And I suppose I might as well put the hands up and say, yeah, when the kettle goes, like, the bloody kettle is gone, we tend, because it's a small item, maybe to stick it on top of a shelf or something and go off and buy the new one. Because you're making that point, and just to reiterate that point again, that your view is that Irish homes contain an average of 15 to 20 electrical items which are broken or unused.
Yeah, and really this follow your lead is a genuine hunt around the house. Like if you go to the bedroom, you're bound to find an old hairdryer or something like that there. If you go into your shed, you might have a power tool. You know, if you go into the playroom, you might have an electric toy. All those now have home offices. There's going to be probably that old photocopier, old laptop that's not working. And so there's a variety of different materials that you may not think of that is electrical appliances that we want to bring back and have properly recycled.
Yeah, the attic can be a great place for people, out of sight, out of mind, and that. October, this is a special International E-Waste Day in October, and challenging families to find these items. The more you talk about that, you know, in regards to, I'm already thinking even, and I like to think I'm a great recycler, but I'm even thinking about my own house. I'm sure there are old mobile phones, a laptop or two, and stuff like that involved. I suppose people, in terms of laptops, Leo, we'd have to refer to the idea, they might be reluctant to hand in laptops for recycling on the basis of the hard drive and stuff like that.
Yeah, now we always advise people, look, to make sure they destruct the data on their hard drive before they drop back to their computer for recycling. But the good news is that, look, all these materials that we take back are actually recycled here in Ireland. We run a very good, strong indigenous recycling business. We actually, all our lamps are actually recycled down there beside you in Athy. So all your fluorescent tubes go into a family business there called Irish Lamps. And then we bring in all our other electrical appliances into another family business run in Tullamore at KMK Metals. So 85% of all the materials that we recover that are brought back by the consumers, either to the retailer or to the local authority site, 85% of those materials can now be sold back into the market as raw materials to produce new products.
And just to reiterate again, there is no charge for returning electrical items to either of the recycling centres, whether it's Ciliate Hill just outside Kilcullen or the Athy recycling facility.
Yeah, this was a great initiative about the electronic recycling system and the battery recycling system, that we made sure that it was free for the consumers to bring back their electrical appliances. So when you're buying a new electrical appliance, if you're getting it delivered to your house, then the retailer will take the old appliance away free of charge. And a lot of retailers now, what they're doing is they're saying, well, look, if you have other loose electrical, small electrical appliances, if we are delivering something to your house, if you have that, drop it back to us as well. So we have great support from the electrical trade in relation to the free take back, and then the local authorities as well. I know there's a lot of charges on local authority for recycling, but it's free for recycling the electrical appliances in your local authority recycling centres.
Well, that's great, great news altogether. So either if you're buying, make sure you bring back the old one. But why could we ask all our listeners now throughout Kildare, all 90,000 of you, and those are the over 15s, we'll throw in tens of thousands of under 15s as well, to scour the house, gather up all those items and bring them to Cilliat Hill, or indeed to the Atai Recycling Centre, which is just on the road out of the town. And you can do it all for free. What better offer can we give you on this day and help the planet as well? Leo, thank you very much indeed for your time this morning. That's the CEO of We Ireland, Leo Donovan. Thank you, Leo, and a very good morning to you.
Good morning to you, Clem.
Okay, a couple of quick messages then before we continue. Good luck to the new management team of Kildare, says Mary. Like any job, experience is the key in any management. A good footballer won't always make a good manager. Managers are measured by success. Only time will tell. And never forget, the stands will be full of managers. Of course they will. But it's not the managers in the stand that count at the end of the day. Thanks, Mary. John Spullin in Newbridge. I will always remember a young member of the Kildare panel in 2000 telling me before the Leinster final that during a team talk, a mentor mentioned Desi Farrell's name. Glenn Say, just say the Dublin number 11. I don't care who they are. Inspirational, to say the least. And one thing is, Glenn Ryan didn't care what reputation he held the centre-back line on that Kildare team. And thou shalt not pass was his epitaph. I think they'll put that in his on his headstone at some stage, Owen. Thou shalt not pass.
Yeah, absolutely. Very exciting times, no doubt. And great to see such big names coming in as part of the backroom team in Dermot Early, Anthony Rainbow, Johnny Doyle and Brian Lacey. Now, upgrade works are to be carried out at Timolin Wastewater Treatment Plant. The project by Irish Water is designed to provide additional capacity for growth in the wider area. Joining me to discuss this is Fianna Fáil Senator Fiona O'Loughlin. Good morning to you, Fiona.
Good morning to you, Owen. And firstly, can I say just what a riveting interview that was with Glenn Ryan. I think that the whole county of Kildare has woke up over the weekend with that sense of excitement and passion and anticipation. And Glenn, he's just a wonderful choice. I think we've been waiting for him for a long time, and I think his experience, his humility and his passion will just bring Kildare forward, and we all wish him the very best of luck.
Yeah, well said. And everyone looking forward to getting back out into the stands as well and cheering Kildare on in St Conleth's Park. Talk to us about this wastewater treatment plant then in Timolin and the upgrade works. What exactly will happen here? What does it mean?
Absolutely, Owen. Well, the bottom line is that the provision of safe water and security of supply has to be a number one priority no matter where you live. And also in terms of wastewater, protecting the environment and ensuring that our plants are up to scratch, and also that if there's going to be extra development in the area that they can actually cater for that. So specific funding was put into a budget allocation, particularly for smaller towns and villages that may be overlooked. And this is really good for, particularly for South Kildare, where we have a number of smaller villages that had been left behind in terms of capacity. You may remember that Derren Tern earlier this year received confirmation that they would be on the plan. And this time it's Timolin's. And Timolin, beautiful small place in South Kildare, but you know, has a very big hinterland, moon, all of that area. So basically, the water treatment plant there is going to be replaced on the same site. So it's just ensuring that there is an excellent treatment there, and also that there will be capacity for future growth. So Irish Water have been working in partnership with the Kildare County Council, and of course, and I've been working with local councillors Vera Louise Bean and Brian Dooley in relation to this. So it's really ensuring that the wastewater continues to be treated at an appropriate standard, that our environment is protected, which is crucial, and the next steps will be that there will be a detailed design, planning, procurement, etc. So in terms of the timeline, we should have that within the next few months. And in terms of investment, there's 98 million overall for 21 towns. So it's on average about 5 million euros per area. But obviously, it's the outcomes that are important. It's not the actual investment.
Yeah, well, on that good news, as you say, Fiona summed up very well. Approved by the Minister for Housing, it'll progress now to design, detailed planning and procurement stages. No information, however, yet on project budget and timelines, but the main news there, upgrade works to be carried out at Timolin Wastewater Treatment Plant. Fianna Fáil Senator Fiona O'Loughlin, thanks for joining us and good morning.
Good morning to you, Owen.
Thank you, Owen, and thank you, Fiona, for the kind words about the interview. Certainly, I think the whole county has a huge uplift in terms of this appointment, and we really look forward to it. But no one underestimates for a second the kind of pressure that the lads will be under as well, because the challenge facing them this year is Division 1 football in the National Football League, and certainly that represents a considerable challenge. But what we'd say to everybody is give the new management team time to put their print on the panel, and they have a couple of months now, so we'll just wait for that in terms of it. Up next after the break, we're going to be dealing with the action that happened on the club scene over the weekend. We'll bring that. Also got an email from Tiger Bjog Lee. Hello, Tig. Anam Dias Gaelge on Oskuntikiri to Hain, I wonder. It says Kildare Masters over 40s had a fantastic win on Saturday over Cork in Glenville GA grounds. 217-19 with two wins from three Noel Casey's men now advanced to the semi-finals. Aye, well done. And I referenced it when I was talking to Glenn. Maybe he will call up some of those players to his panel. We will wait and see.
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Okay, it was a very, very busy weekend on the club front, I can tell you, but we'll deal with that now in just a moment. But let's just a quick couple of quick messages that have come in over the last few minutes. Just on the texter that says Salins has no new amenities, we have a brand new €110 million bypass, upgraded train station, 33 acres of community lands in development, new playground, greenway coming through, and big plans for developing the village centre. We need housing, but I'm always happy to meet with any resident committee to discuss the concerns if that lady wants to make contact. And that message came from James Lawless himself. Clem, I have the old green catechism here. Oh my God, now they're coming out of the woodwork. Clem, when you're going recycling, maybe you should bring your old pink TV with you. Yeah, I've been asked that again over the weekend. I saw Celine Byrne on the TV last night. Wow, did you know the great Johnny Doyle is her cousin? Come on, the Lilies. I didn't know Johnny Doyle. Johnny, a great footballer. I don't know if he's any good at the singing. Celine, a great singer. Don't know if she's any good at the football. Will there be an opportunity to hear that Glen Ryan interview again? There most certainly will. We'll be podcasting that interview and it will be up on our website in the podcast section, and it'll also be up on Twitter in the next hour or two. So stand by for that. Of course we will. And finally, oh yeah, that was that last one that came in. All right, let's begin our look at the weekend action in terms of what was going on in the county over the weekend. And on Saturday in Mangard plus Hawkfield, the one intermediate game that was scheduled for that was cancelled. That was the Ballyteague game was off because of a bereavement. But there were three games in Newbridge, and reporting on one of those, the senior relegation final, that was Klaharenko Castle. Oh no, there was a quarter final as well at 3 o'clock. Carbery against Round Towers. Yeah, I referenced it earlier with Glen Ryan. A 1 point defeat for Round Towers, or I suppose a 1 point win for Carbery. Seamus Dillon will be joined by Richard Cummins in a moment to report on the action in St. Conlon's Park yesterday. But Seamus, that 1 point win for Carbery, who will now meet, I think, Naas next weekend.
That's correct, Clem. They've progressed to the quarter final proper, and it was an 11-1 scoreline. Tight game throughout. The Cullies, Jack and Mark and Tommy Gill had Carbery 4-1 in front after 16 minutes before Matthew Kelly and Mark Waters brought it back to a point. And from there to the half time break, it was 6-5 when Danny Kelly pointed after Mark Cully had put Carbery 6-4 in front. And it was from there to the finish, Towers got it hard to get scores at 6-all after 33 minutes. Matthew Kelly scored what was a very bizarre goal for the Towers men to put them 2 points in front after 43 when Niall Fleming was fouled referee Matthew Redmond pointed to the penalty spot, up stepped James Robinson, the Towers goalkeeper, and his effort was saved. But referee adjudged that the goalkeeper had moved early and ordered it to be retaken. It was Matthew Kelly this time again. He shot low to Conroy's left and it was saved again, and for the third time the referee ordered a retake and Matthew Kelly put it away. But leading by 2 points with 17 minutes to go, Towers looked like they were in the ascendancy. But in fairness to Carberry, James Carey and Jack Cully and Morgan O'Flaherty came forward with points, and Towers couldn't, even though DJ Flynn did get them back to level.
Yeah.
3 minutes ago, it was Oisín Milliwán's free that left Carberry winners on 11 points to 1-7, and a disappointing result for Glenn Ryan and the Towers guys.
It was, as we touched briefly on it. By the way, the Glenn Ryan interview is podcast. Well done on BT. It's already podcast, that interview we did this morning, the first and exclusive interview with the new Kildare senior football manager. Seamus, we'll be brief now on the remainder of those because we've a lot of games to get through. Yeah. And I want to go to Richard in a couple of minutes after this next game. The senior relegation final. Klarenko have only come up from intermediate this season. They certainly stamped their success in this game against Castledermot, a very decisive win for them, which preserves their senior status for next season.
Yeah, they were impressive, and then another, in a sense, Clem, they were probably unlucky to be in that position because they had played excellently throughout the group stages, and that this game was decided, I suppose, after 15 minutes when Jack Robinson, who contributed a total of 1-8, what an outstanding talent, he got his first goal of the game. He got a pass from 25 metres out and just pace to Byrne, put it to the Castledermot net, and from there to the finish, two more points from Robinson, less than 1-9-5 ahead at half time, and two goals from the McMonagalls, Keane and Owen, in that second period left them running out winners on a scoreline of 3-13-10 points, fully deserving of their senior status. And you know, somebody said to me Saturday evening they were good intermediate winners and they certainly deserve a second chance.
Yeah.
Disappointing for Castledermot.
And they certainly celebrated it at the end as well, which you can
Absolutely.
See online as well. Now yesterday then, continuing with senior, the attention turned to three games that were held in St. Conrad's Park. St. Lawrence's against Maynooth at 1 o'clock, Raheen's against Sarsfield at 3 o'clock. Those were quarter finals, and then the preliminary quarter final saw a cracking game between Athy and Clane. Watching those games for us is this man who is the definitive encyclopedia of Kildare GAA. His name is Richard Cummins, and anybody who has ever followed him on Twitter at Kildare GAA 365 will know that this man, when it comes to statistics, is unparalleled. Good morning, Richard, and thank you for joining us on the programme this morning. Let's start with the first of those games yesterday, which took place at 1 o'clock. It was St. Lawrence's against Maynooth.
That's some intro, Clem.
You're welcome. Deserved.
Can you podcast that one for me as well?
I will indeed. 2-11 to 1-11 was it for Maynooth?
Yeah. It was for Maynooth, and that's quite a turnaround for Maynooth when you think about it, because last year they scraped through a relegation final against Monasterevin to stay in senior, and this year obviously they've improved. They've got Neil Flynn in great form. He was available yesterday after shipping a pretty bad injury the previous day, and they were full value for their 6-point win over a very game St. Lawrence's side. Goals were important here. They scored a first through Owen Donlan after about 18 minutes, and then in the final 10 minutes a second goal from substitute Sean Heaver was important for Maynooth after St. Lawrence's had come back at them and were only a point behind going into the last 10 minutes. So good game, very very good quality game that one, and some good performances on both sides. Very impressive Mark Glynn on the St. Lawrence's side. He was on the county panel this year, and he scored 3 points from midfield for St. Lawrence's.
Right, that second game, it turned out to be a rather one-sided affair. It might have been described as a local derby when Tommy was with us on Friday. Raheen's, of course, having won the league earlier in the season, but Sarsfield's running out 2-15-7-point winners, Richard.
Yeah, you could look at it two ways, Clem. I think from a Raheen's perspective, obviously very disappointing. They never really got to grips with Sarsfield, who were much stronger from a physical perspective and height perspective. Worth mentioning, Raheen's were missing a couple of their stronger players, Mikey McGovern and David Malone. and their big losses for a young team like Raheem's. But really, Sarsfield took a grip within the first few minutes. They were 5 points up before Raheem's even had a shot on target, and by half time they were 12 points to nil ahead. Pretty unusual for a team at senior level not to score at all in the first half. And then when Barry Coffey got a goal early in the second half, that was 1-13 to no score, and really, you know, it was game over by then, indeed well before then. Very impressive from Sarsfield. All six forwards were on the mark in the first half. They had 5 points from Shane Doyle, they had three from Alan Smith. Coffey got 1-2 in the end. They did ring the changes a little bit. Their last score, I think, was the 46th minute, a goal from substitute Ronan Fitzgibbon. And those changes allowed Raheem's to get a little bit of respectability on the scoreline with 7 points in the second half. But powerful performance from Sarsfields. Had to take into context that, you know, Raheem's probably weren't at their best, certainly nothing like they were in that league final when they beat Sarsfields in extra time.
All right. Kane, we'll move on from that game. Richard, time just getting away from us.
No
quite
worries.
Remarkable that Raheem's failed to score in that first half. Now a cracking game in the preliminary quarter final. A tie, the county champions, holding on by their fingertips, 1 point win over Clane.
Yeah, holding on by their fingertips. And they've been hit by injuries and suspensions. Kevin Feely came on after about 38 minutes when they were kind of struggling a little bit for momentum. Good to see him back after that injury. Atai got an early goal through Kieran Farrell, who was a revelation up front. He got 1-2 and all. And that kind of kept them a little bit ahead of Clane for most of the game. I think Clane led once, having come right back into it. McLaughlin and O'Sullivan, superb up front. Two fantastic talents, and they really put Atai to the sword in this one. I suppose it boiled down to a couple of controversial incidents 48 minutes in, and it's appeared online in terms of an amateur video, I think, this morning, and I've had a look at it a few times and debated it. Basically, Shane McLaughlin running through on goal was hauled down in the area, but there was some contact made with them outside the area, and it looks like referee Conor Daly deemed that to be the foul that was pulled for. All day it looked to me like a pretty clear penalty, and others in the press box. But, you know, the referee is the referee, and he didn't call it, and that one got away. Clane were 3 points behind at that stage. They scored the free. They got it back level in injury time through Chris Byrne. But then, of course, Niall Kelly stepped up, and no better man to take on the shot 6 minutes into injury time, and drag a thigh over the line when it looked like we were heading into extra time.
Wow, what a dramatic end to that game. A 1 point win for a tie in that particular game. 15 to 17 points to score there. And reporting there, Richard Cummins. Follow him on at Kildare GAA 365 if you want to become as informed on the statistics of Kildare GAA at all levels in the club championship. Thank you for that, Richard, and your live reports yesterday. We let you go there as we go back to Seamus for three games in the Intermediate Football Championship. Seamus, if you might summarise that briefly, please. It's Milltown v Strachan, Allenwood v Salins, Ellistown v St Kevin's.
Milltown and Strachan, Clemens, intermediate relegation final, and it was Milltown who were winners on a scoreline of 113 to 9 points. Both of these teams were level on six occasions throughout the game at 9 points apiece up to the 47th minute, and the introduction of Rob Scully, Alan Dignam and Thomas Hamilton for Milltown saw them outscore the opposition by 1-4 to no score in those last 13 minutes, and an outstanding team performance from Milltown, ably led by the excellent Colin O'Shea and his Fae, who retained their intermediate status for next year, and Strachan are gone back to junior. The intermediate preliminary quarter final claim between Allenwood and the quarter final proper between Allenwood and Salins was an eagerly anticipated game, and not a lot between them. 6 points to 5 to Salins at the water break, and at half time it was 1-7 to 7 points after Jamie Cox had goaled for the Salins men in the 25th minute. After that, Owen Bagnall with a couple of points and Johnny Dial with a point, and it was 1-9 to 11 after 49 minutes as Ballon would threaten to get control of the game, but from there to the finish, Conor Herbert with a point and then a goal in the 51st minute sort of killed it as a contest. And despite Alan Wood getting back with a late goal in the 64th minute from Billy McNamee, it was Paul Farrelly's late 45 who left them winners on a scoreline of 2-13 to 1-13. An impressive Salons display, and they certainly will have a say in the destination of this year's Intermediate Football Championship. Our last game of the evening, Clem, at 6 o'clock was the Yellowstown versus St. Kevin's preliminary quarter final. A Dylan Brereton goal after 13 minutes put Kevin's 1-4 to a point in front, and they extended that out to 2-7 to 1-4 before half time when the Smith brothers combined for Kieran to shoot to the back of the Yellowstown net. In the second half, Yellowstown battled hard, and when Tyke Watson got a goal, his goal just before half time, he pointed just after the break, and but from there to the finish, Barry Noon and Ross Carew, Alan Bennett kicked excellent points, and it was Ross Carew who got that all important and I suppose decisive goal in the last minute of the game, which left it 3-15 to 1-10, and Dylan Brereton and Kieran Smith with points left it 3-17 to 1-10. Kevin's very comprehensive winners. They wouldn't have been at their very best yesterday. They were missing a couple of players, but they certainly are a team to be noted as they move forward into the quarterfinal proper.
All right, the full programme of games, by the way, for the weekend. Our lunchtime sports bulletin will review all the results and have next weekend's fixtures as well. And Kildare scoreboard, of course, has returned last Monday. And from around 6:30 this evening, we'll be reviewing all the weekend sporting action, not just in GAA, but across soccer, rugby, racing as well. And you'll have another chance to hear Richard Cummins and Seamus Dillon's analysis and commentary on those games as well. And remember the Glen Ryan interview, which we carried exclusively, the first interview with the new Kildare GAA manager, that is currently podcast. You can get it on our website, kfmradio.com, or on our sports Twitter, at KFM Sport.